wir weiter.
Ja, yeah, it was a short break of only, I think, 3 minutes. This third point is very difficult to explain. I think in every culture there are themes who are not welcomed very well mm-hmm. by some parts of this very divided society in Germany, and I think in others as well after the war. Some themes are like signs for a special political opinion. Mm-hmm. Yes? And if you worked on flights on German refugees, you seem to be one of those conservative scholars who wanted to show that the German have victims as well, perhaps more than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And therefore nobody in my generation, and especially not in those groups who are working more on oral history and popular history from below, yes, they didn't want to have these themes. On the other hand, these themes were so important within the people mm-hmm. that you couldn't look away from these themes, you see, and therefore it's very difficult in the German history to see these meanings within all these connotations, can I say?
Yeah.
These connotations, otherwise you wouldn't understand why so many themes in Germany were not worked on, can I say it? Mm-hmm. For so long times. The first bigger oral history projects after this by Schieler ist das, ne? Schieler heißt der Mensch. Schieler, who worked on the very famous in Germany, very Theodor. Famous historian.
Theodor Schieler. On the refugees.
On the refugees.
And expellees, that's the word.
Expellees, yeah. Yes. Expelled, yeah, clear. Yeah. And that's interesting to see. I started very early with such themes because I worked on oral history after 1980s, let's say, I'm not sure. And you realize if you are asking people, normal people, you have at once critical themes and questions. Mm-hmm. The experience in the Hitler Youth. Could you talk about it? Yeah. The experience of soldiers. It was not be very popular in my generation to work on soldier experiences, mm-hmm. or the experiences of Imprompteurs, heißen diese Unternehmer, Entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs.
And their different attitudes and changes and breaks between, let's say, 1930 and 1960. Yeah. And it's so interesting to see that a lot of those entrepreneurs who were very close to the Nazis after the war had some breaks. You wouldn't believe it.
Had some breaks in what sense?
In their thinking, in their attitudes, in their attitude just towards the trade unions, I think just those who were, it's a thesis, just those who were Nazis after the war tried to do their very best to show their good attitudes to the trade unions, because under Konrad Adenauer it was there was a policy or politics to come together with trade unions and entrepreneurs. In German, it's not a German word, but in German you would say it's a form of Kooperatismus.
corporatism.
Yeah, corporatism as well. And I think it was not so far from that what the entrepreneurs under the Nazis wanted.
Oh.
Yeah, all together, but under the domination of the state and the entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
In opposition to those very, very conservative entrepreneurs who never were Nazis, yes, and therefore they hadn't to change. Yeah, they said, no, we don't want to go with the trade unions. The trade unions are our enemies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? And it's funny to see that just the Nazis had these changes. In my opinion, it's, I made a project on this question. And in difference to the old entrepreneurs, just as the miners, in Bergwerk, was isn't this
mining
industry, you wouldn't see it if you have only the view on their biography. Then you would see they had a short break of 2 years. 3 years perhaps, but 1949 they are all in their positions as before the war.
Huh.
That's important to know. There is a big continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the other hand, you have just, if you make oral history, you have to ask, are they the same people after such political changes, after such important political or system changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Are they the same persons as before, or do or did they change their attitudes, opinions, political and perhaps social policy attitudes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's interesting to see if you have this imagination of oral history. You see the dynamic of a biography, not only for 1 year and not only for a special part of history,
mm-hmm.
but if you look at a biography, you see that the people have changes.
Mm-hmm.
They change in that time, mostly because of opportunism. Yes. It's not always the best motives or motivations.
Oh.
Yeah? But opportunismus is one of the biggest conditions for changing your mind. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's necessary to change yourself if you want to be or want to make career in specific times. During Adenauer, it was possible to be to have been a Nazi,
yeah.
Yes, but you was not allowed to make propaganda like a Nazi. You uh-huh. can say it was not so bad, all what you say about the Nazism and so on. But today I'm a Democrat, yeah, and so on, and I do my very best to work together with the trade unions. Yeah, uh-huh. It was not possible before in the 20th or in the 30th. Of the 20th century.
In the 20s and 30s.
Say it again?
In the 20s and 30s?
Yes.
Okay.
It was so conservative in the mining industry, in the rural region, and the Nazis did a lot to force the trade unions to change them, to forbid them, to get the members for their form of putting together the Gefolgschaft. Oh God, oh God, it's so difficult to say it in English, because there are special expressions.
Concepts.
And the Nazis wanted to have the members clear, the members of the trade unions, but forbid the trade unions as an organization,
mm-hmm.
to get the members to put them together with the as a Gefolgschaft. I can't translate it as a part of this corporation of Betriebsführer, the leader of a company, together with the Gefolgschaft, or those who have
the workers. With the workers?
Yeah, with the workers. But this expression is important because it has a special meaning, as you know. Mm-hmm. Gefolgschaft means you have to follow your leader, the director of
it's
the
company. Unquestioning loyalty.
Yes, and it was a very, very hard situation for the old trade unionists that the Nazis were so successful in this economic sense after 1933.
Yeah? So the Nazis, they crushed all the trade unions, unions, and then they established one union, Deutsche Arbeitsfront, German Labor Front.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they forced employers who didn't have a union to unionize.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They had their own union, if you would like to call it like that, the Deutsche Arbeitsfront.
Yeah.
But it was a clear hierarchy between the Gefolgschaft, between the workers and the leader of this company. And I think the disappointments of the real trade union, the old trade unionists, was so big, so hard to bear for them, because the Nazis were the enemies of the workers' movement all the time in the 20th. They were the main enemies. Yeah? And now there were a lot of things done by the Nazis who never were imaginated by the old trade unionists. For instance, the education, the industrial education was new in Germany by the industry. It was durchgesetzt, it was pushed by the Nazis. There were a lot of new educational new professions, industrial professions, which were not only handcraft professions, Handwerkerberufe, that were industrial forms, new norms for that. Yeah? And they, the first time after a lot of years, the youth, or some Jugendliche, what's that?
Youth, yeah.
Got a new form of education, of, wie heißt denn das, Lehrberuf.
Vocational training.
Yeah. And I think, therefore, it's so difficult for all those who were young in that time to say, yes, it was a hard time. On the other hand, they had a lot of positive experiences. The milieus were not so divided, so separated from each other by the Nazis. They wanted to get the Arbeiter der Faust in des Geistes, ne? Der Stirn heißt es bei den Nazis. I can't translate it.
Well, those who did manual work.
Yeah,
those brain work.
Brain work, yes, but these are special expressions. Yeah? And I know a lot of people who I asked or interviewed.
Who
I interviewed, and they had always this struggle within their personality, that they were political against the Nazis. Very clear, Hitler means war, for instance. Then all the family members said it all the time, and that from the end of the 20s. But then they got so many Vorteile, so many
advantages.
It's, I think, a real challenge for historians just of my generations, who were so educated in the more or less left sense, as anti fascist sense, I mean, sense, to see these ambivalences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an. It was one of the main challenges for us, that our old Schubladen, our thinking in special Schubladen, was that mal special?
Drawers, actually.
Huh?
Drawers, but drawers is not, I guess, sort of a box.
In boxes. I think that's best, yeah. And then you see, they didn't see it like that. They see it for you. They describe it for you that you can understand it as a new generation.
Uh-huh.
Because they know and they knew in that time that they shouldn't say something positive about the Nazis. And I didn't want to hear.
In the time when you did the interviews.
When I did these interviews.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to hear these positive.
Mm-hmm.
Until I, in my opinion, I realized that the fascination, the attraction is better, I think, the attraction of National Socialism is not only by terror coming, or you know what I mean? No,
mm-hmm.
the Zustimmung, was heißt das?
Zustimmung by?
Also die Zustimmung zu den Nazis.
Agreement.
Kannst du das sagen?
Ja.
The agreement to the Nazis is not only...
Or consent.
The consent. Is not. It was not only a consent. No. I think I'd say this word. The attraction was had a real, or the attraction of the Nazis, did not come only by force, by lies, by violence, terror, and so on. No, there were real experiences which were attractive
mm-hmm.
for the young workers, people, for the young workers. Yeah, and I think we have to see this if we don't want to underestimate the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their success was so successful, if you would like mm-hmm. to say it like that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because they had more money, less Arbeitslose.
Unemployed.
They had the first time, for instance, not all, but it was important in their view. They had holidays. They could make journeys to another place, to other places, just the youth,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which were always in their own milieu before. Yeah, it was so seldom before that they could go outside, and now they could go to different places. There were connections with the youth of other classes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope you understand me correctly. I don't want to say that the Nazis were or the Nazi politics were positive. I want to say how attractive they mm-hmm. were for these Jugendliche, for this youth.
And we should probably just to give some context or some explanation. The project that you did with Lutz Niethammer in the Ruhr Valley was mainly to find out why the working class, which had been red, which had been left communist or social democrat, turned brown, turned pro-Nazi during the Third Reich. That was sort of the main question that you had.
It's my question because I made this for the workers' part, for the part of the workers. But it's not correct. I think we wanted to know whether the workers were attracted by the Nazis or not.
Oh.
Was it only terror? Or were there hopes? Were there form of attractions? We were not sure in the beginning, but just me, I think, coming from a left-wing radical organization, I think for me it was very interesting to see that the Nazis were so successful in parts of the life of workers. Most of the workers, I think, were not pro-Nazis in that time, but they were astonished and they saw that there was done a lot for them. And we can say perhaps that I will not be misunderstood. Some of them know or knew that the war was a consequence of this successful politics before. Therefore, it is more ambivalent than to say, yes, they went to the Nazis, or they came from the communist or socialist parties and went to the Nazis. No, I don't think so. Therefore, after the war, they were all of the old functionaries were against the Nazis again, made a new social democrat or communist politics, but were careful. They knew now how such a dictatorship works. It works not only with terror. They work with all these attractional elements, and by a press, by the broadcasting, very new ones in that time, very modern ones by the Nazis, and the circumstances of the workers' class grew better, can I say it? And we have to see that, otherwise we would unterschätzen, we would underestimate the National Socialism. If we would not see the attractive elements, that is so important, I think, this result of our work, to see how today right-wing radicals are working. They try to get the youth again, and with all this romanticism, and they try to say the Nazis were not so bad because they did that and that and that. They forget, in quoting, what do you say?
In quotes.
They forget all the other sides of the Nazis, the racist politics, the murder of the Jews and Gypsies and so on, the war, a brutal form of occupations. No, but you will not hear any word, or not one word about them. But you will see all these elements which were so attractive for the youth in the 30s. And I think that's important to know, and not to say they were only racists, they were only brutal terrorists, the Nazis. That's only the one side. The other side is to get the people, the other people which were inside the Volksgemeinschaft, inside the that was the Nazis,
sort of people's unity,
new kind of all people. The others were thrown out. Jews, Gypsies, communists, social democrats, but more communists, they were not part of this popular community. But for the others who were inside in this view, for that they did a lot. They thought, and they that came up to the workers, they did a lot for us, and that was totally in opposition to that what the trade unionists, the communists, and social democrats said before. But the war, the beginning of the war, was the main break for this view. Then it was there was no such empathy, what would you say?
Enthusiasm?
Enthusiasm, like 1914. And I always was very astonished because I thought there must be a big enthusiasm.
So, I mean, it almost sounds as if the working class was simply opportunistic. You know, they would go with whoever gave them the best lives or comforts.
Now, not only they saw, it's more ambivalent. They saw these other sides of the Nazis, this terroristic and racist side. if you was not a racist for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They, but most, I think, saw these sites and were always misstrauisch.
Uh-huh. Suspicious.
Suspicious. If there will not come the bad end mm-hmm. of all this. Yeah. And it's not only opportunism, I think, when you see or when you want to have better life conditions, mm-hmm. I think that's a normal wish.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is the German population was more divided before 1933. The Nazis never had more than 40%,
mm-hmm.
And they got in parts all those who were against them in a certain sense and perhaps only in parts of their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And with the beginning of the war and then with the beginning of the bombing in their home places, and at least with the beginning of the war, the Überfall, was heißt das? The
war, attack on the Soviet
the Union. Attack on the Soviet Union. I think the consent went down, and new research shows that this consent broke down very early during the war. There are a lot of other studies.
Uh-huh.
For instance, how many families gave the name Adolf uh-huh. for their children, used bank credits for the war, bank Kriegsschreiber, was heißt
Kriegsanleihen?
That? Kriegsanleihen.
Bonds, war bonds.
War bonds. The question of membership in the churches
uh-huh.
first went down, yeah, after the Nazis won, and then grew up with the development of the war,
uh-huh.
and so on. And we have only a lot, only a few sources to answer this question. And I was astonished how congruent. Nearly congruent, our results were when Nori Möding and I tried to make a curve, to sign a curve of consent, of Zustimmung,
uh-huh.
of consent to the
consent, yeah,
to towards or what you say towards the Nazis,
yeah, consent to the Nazis,
to the Nazis, and it was clear after 1933 it went up. 1938, it was a bit, it stopped, it was on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1939, with the war, with the beginning of the war, it fall down.
Uh-huh.
In our oral research, it went up during the so-called Blitzkriegsphase. Mm-hmm. What's it in English?
Well, Blitzkrieg is the same.
It's the same. It's one of these German words where the German language was so successful. It's a pity.
So the first phase and before the attack on the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against all the other European, Western European states, mainly France. And then it came up a little bit during this phase of the war, this uh-huh. period. And then after the bombing or the attack on the Soviet Union, you can't really separate these uh-huh. reasons, it fall down and never came up again.
Uh-huh.
That was our result. And now Götz Ali and Müller and others made this research on those questions I just mentioned. Church, Adolf, the name of Adolf, the Kriegsanleihen, bonds, did you say?
War bonds.
War bonds, and so on, church membership, they have nearly the same curve.
Huh.
Yeah, and that's interesting because we always say oral history after such a long time can only show what you today think about it. But now we see with these researchers and people tell us the attraction showed the same curve. I do not know a better word.
Is it correct? On a graph.
On a graph.
Yeah.
Like those from the other sources and their interpretations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting to see, and it was indeed a question for us starting with the Lucia project. And it's, I have to say one word, that this project initiated and led by Lutz Niethammer was the first one who had the question for breaks and continuity, and where the center was the consciousness of the people, or other in another expression, there were a lot of research that was done, a lot of research. That showed that there were continuities in the politics, in the economy, in the media, institutional, and so on. And Lutz Niethammer asked at the beginning of this project, the main continuity was in the head of the people. And nobody asked until now. It was in 1979 or 1980. Yeah? Until now, nobody asked for the consciousness of the people after the war. Everybody was talking about the hour zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
1945.
But they were not born in 1945. It's clear. It's evident. Yes? And therefore, we had to ask for the heads, for the what was in the people, what were the attitudes, what was the continuity in the attitudes after the war. Yeah? And not only to ask for the breaks and the continuity within these institutions.